You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Tell Ambassadors Jakar and Londo I want to see them in chambers now.
Yes, number six.
Then invite them again as firmly and as politely as you can.
Captain, either you snore or last night we had a hell of a breach in the hull.
What do I do now?
Old style, you roll over and go to bed. New style, you go out for pizza and I never see you again.
What's inside there?
One moment of perfect beauty.
Hello, and welcome to the Epsilon 3, a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast. Each week, we review an episode of the 1990s sci-fi TV classic, Babylon 5. This week, Season 2, Episode 8, Soulmates. I'm Paul.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we are the Epsilon 3.
And the synopsis. Londo's three wives arrive on the station. Delenn seeks Ivanova's help in adjusting to her new human characteristics. And Talia's ex-husband, oh, not another one, another person from the past. A fellow Psycor telepath arrives on the station with an intriguing story. Written by JMS and Peter David and directed by John C. Flynn III, this episode was released on December the 14th, 1994. And takes place in May 2259. So here we're going from last week's March to this week's May. Guest stars. Keith. Let's call him Keith. Zara Bayek, I'll go for, as Matthew Stoner. Lois Nettleton as Dagir. Blair Volk as Marielle. David L. Crowley as Lou Welsh.
Yeah.
Carol Strucken as a trader. Jane Carr as Timoff. And Brian Michael McGuire as a man. I have no idea which one he was.
What was your big break? I played man.
Yeah. Oh, my big break was I played man. Well, that's great acting.
In a sci-fi show, I mean, where, and you know, anything could be an alien or anything like that. You know, being a human man, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stands out in a crowd.
Yeah. That's it. Okay. Sean, what did we think of this episode?
We didn't think much of it. Much like last week's episode, we think even less of this week's. Nothing happens. There's no point to it. We have Delenn's bad hair day, which is kind of cool. We find out that it's the 30th anniversary of Londo's ascension, but what did he ascend from? I never found out.
Or two.
Nah, it was an episode. I watched it. It's a little bit better than last, or a little bit worse than last week's, actually. It's another Telly episode. Yeah. It was not good. Broken. I didn't like it.
It broken Sean.
Yeah. What did you guys
maybe do it again?
Another telepath episode. Like, really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Dan, yeah. What did you think?
That's where I'm coming from again. Just, we had, you know, the intrigue of Bester last week, and now this week we've got some guy who dropped out, but actually turned out to be some black secret project of the I don't care. And then he becomes a relic dealer that just so happens to bring the right relic, and like that Jakar was somehow planning that this was going to be a thing, and it was going to be a
nothing makes sense.
The Malari story was fun, and I would have loved if that was the main focus of the episode. Mm-hmm. You know, Malari and his wives. It's a Peter David story. You know, whenever we've talked about DC Fontana and how amazing she gets all these cultures and things like that, Peter David is one of the few writers who's done all the expanded Star Trek novels that I have actually read. You know, there's a few others that I've read, but Peter David is one of the ones that stands out because he always has really comedic books. He always does really good Lo'Axana Troi, and he does great Q books. So I enjoy his comedy, and I like the whole Malari and his three wives. I thought there was a great playoff there. But everything else about this episode doesn't need to happen, doesn't need to be here. And as I was doing back in season one, you could have chopped and changed everything from last week, and it still would have made sense. Like, you could have had Delenn's hair story match up to her going on the date with Sheridan. So it would have been all linked together. And, you know, when Ivanova is sharing with Delenn, sharing with Sheridan and their rooms, you know, she's feeling a bit, you know, out of sorts. So she's helping Delenn out, but she's also getting help from Delenn as well, spiritual help. You know, how do I live with Sheridan? Because I've got to share this room with him. There's so many stories that could have been jumbled and changed, and it would have made a far better episode this week. And they didn't. And it's very annoying.
And the fact that you brought up that this actually took place in the past makes more sense why everybody was asking if the captain had settled into his quarters. Like, why are you asking him this? It's 8 episodes into the friggin' season. Oh no, this is way before in the past. Okay, I got you now.
Yeah.
But because that wasn't making any sense. Like, he's been here for a while now.
True.
And it undercuts everything from last week as well, that she was being brought before the underground and they were telling all their sob stories about, you know, how harsh it was under the treatment of the Psycor, all these horrible things they did. And then this week she's saying, well, I was one of those people as well. And she was acting last week like she'd never heard of any of it, but she was just forced into a marriage just like all they were. So it doesn't make any sense.
It wouldn't have made any sense the other way around either.
No, so, exactly. Yeah. Like, it does. There we go.
Well, you know me. If you listen to the Cosmic Pizza podcast, if you listen to Sci-Fi Waffle, you know I like a good bit of comedy. So this, to me, is ignore the rest and just watch the comedy bits. It's really, really good. We start off with Veer's rehearsal of his greeting.
It is a pleasure to meet you. It is a pleasure to meet you. It is a pleasure to meet you.
Well, I always like picking up women at the docking port. It's always nice.
Yes, but then again, if you go and pick up somebody like Timov.
You are Veer?
Yes.
I am Timov, daughter of Al Ghul. You will take me to my husband.
I was told there would be three of you.
Who is this? No, never mind. I said you will bring me to my husband. Is your hearing deficient?
No, but I
then
do
have... let's be off.
It is a pleasure to meet you.
Should have put the emphasis on pleasure. She'd have loved you then.
Pleasure?
Veer?
Yes, madam.
I mean... You know, you're in for a great fun episode when you've got Veer to start with like that, you know, doing that and being, you know, saying he's going to pick up women at the gate, and then Timov arrives, and her comic timing is just perfect. Who are you? Never mind. You know, it's just straight away dismisses people, and she looks quite small, but it's just the fact that the other two are very tall, so it makes her look a lot smaller. She isn't particularly small, but. The eyes and that sort of stare and the pursed mouth all the time, you know, it's just, and because she's got such a British accent, it's amazing. So I immediately fell in love with this woman's ability to bring comedy to the fore like that. She's classically trained. She's RSC. I mean, what more could you want? I mean, she knows exactly what she's doing. At the same time, Garibaldi notices there's a bit of an altercation going on, but it's quashed pretty quickly. And he has a gut instinct about this guy, Stoner, as he turns out, and he turns out to be Talia's ex-husband. Oh, great, another old flame. That's just all we need, isn't it?
Talia gets around, let me tell you.
Yeah.
True.
But Londo is out partying whilst Veer is manfully trying to keep up the wives from verbally fencing with each other.
I really did like that. Like that whole moment where he's just like, barkeep, another drink. And it's all kind of like a bit woozy and it's all over the place. It's very panned into his face.
Yeah.
It felt like they'd been drinking for quite some time. And I can imagine that, you know, with the three nightmares that he has.
But I mean, that's funny. It is funny because it does look like he's got a selfie camera. and it's that sort of picture, isn't it? That these days, you always get the person who takes the picture right in close on the on the screen, and everybody else is in the distance. That's exactly what he had. It was as though he was doing a Zoom call to somebody, and you know, using a selfie stick.
It's all about the Babylon-gram. Babylon-gram life. There you go.
So Ivanova goes to Delenn's quarters, and Delenn needs a bit of help with her hair.
Commander. I want you to understand. I acquired human characteristics to bring your people and mine closer together. To symbolize our mutuality. It is supposed to be a dignified, inspiring transition for both humans and Minbari. So will you please explain to me why this...
Hair.
The refuses to cooperate.
Which, it was pretty, again, nice bit of comedy there, you know. Mira Furlan's giving it, you know, everything she's got there with the, you know, trying to brush this hair and it's all over the place. You know, it must have been a good day in, you turn up for work and you're thinking, oh, I've got to put all this prosthetics on and, oh, the wrap around the hair, got to get the hair done properly. And then you read the script and go, oh, no, yay. Just pull your hair to bits and go, there we go, I'm on.
I had no problems with it at first, but as time passed,
it's pretty brittle. What are you washing it with?
Washing?
Yes, you know, when you bathe.
We use a chemical compound that strips away the outer layer of the epidermal tissue. It is symbolic of being reborn each day.
And you've been using this on your hair?
Yes.
Wash it? What do you mean, wash it?
Wash it, yeah. And again, Ivanova's face when she hears the fact that she hasn't washed her hair, it's just that incredulous. The eyes go wide, go, oh my God, you've never washed? Oh, no, it's just brilliant. So then Talia talks to Sheridan about her relationship with Stoner and how they met. He left the marriage before he was inducted into the Corps. So, a bit strange. So obviously he isn't part of the Corps then. Shakar makes an appearance with Malari. Malari seems in a very good mood and he says to Shakar, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. Maybe we'll come back to that later. Timov is hassling Veer as to why Malari is not here.
He drags me out here, gives no reason why he wants to see me. What's he hiding, Veer? Tell me. I won't bite, Veer.
With all due respect, madam, that's not what I've heard.
All right. That one time.
It was twice.
Dagir appears. And they have a few words, and then Dagir says...
Oh, Timov, why do you always try to draw me into your little verbal fencing matches?
Because I don't have a real sword handy.
Nice. So Talia then tells Sheridan about the Psi-Corps and Stone. And Matt helped her learn the ways of the Corps, and they were deemed genetically compatible and could provide the Corps with an advanced telepathic child. And then she says, obviously, then Stoner left the Corps for some reason.
Which I don't understand, because I thought Ironheart was her trainer or instructor, and I thought Abby was the one from the Bureau 13 backstory that was the one who helped her into the Corps. So how is Stoner also someone who was the one responsible for helping her into the Corps?
That's needs of the plot.
She didn't. He helped. He was an advanced trainee. Like she was a trainee. He was an advanced trainee. And he was her mentor of sorts. He was to help her learn the ways of the Corps.
Right. Okay. It seemed like she'd been instructed by three different people.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, well, you know, it's the way of the Corps.
She was a slow student. She needed lots of help.
Next week, it's her fourth instructor, comes to the Babylon 5 and finds out something else about her.
So anyway, Timov and Dagir are still waiting for Malari. And when he arrives, Timov says she wants to know why they have been summoned by Malari. And he says it's the 30th anniversary of his ascension. The Emperor has given Malari one wish within his power to grant as a gift for this anniversary. So he wants to get a divorce from the arranged marriages from his three wives. But the Emperor requested that he keeps one of them for future state affairs. Let the games begin.
I really liked just the staging of it. This episode could work as a play if it were just the Malari stuff. Forget literally everything else. I just love all of that. The Centauri stuff, I'm just falling in love with all again from re-watching all of these episodes of Babylon 5. Just Peter Jurassic's way of saying, you know, a divorce, and just seeing how they react was just brilliant comedy. Wonderful comedy.
Oh yeah, great acting.
Oh yeah, I mean, when you get classically trained people in a room like this, I mean, you know you're going to get comedy gold or excellent acting. Mm. But a spin-off at home with the Malaris, that would have been that would have been good, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, I would love to see that.
A half-hour sitcom after every episode of the regular Babylon.
I just like it when De Gea says,
"Petulant, isn't she? Well, breeding will tell."
A bitch like you would know about breeding.
Oh, ladies, please continue.
I was shocked actually that they used that word in the 90s.
Mm. I was. Yeah, that's. I mean, for an American over here, not wouldn't be a thing, but over in America, obviously, and I assume Canada as well. Mm-hmm. That's quite a. It's a strong word.
Mm.
For 1995, especially, or whatever it came out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, apologies to anybody who was offended by that word, but f*** it.
last week it was fragging. Remember, we got to say fragging. That's how we get past the censors.
Oh, you can't do that anymore. Do you want to allow a license for that these days? That's fracking, sorry.
Completely different.
That's the other show. Delenn's hair is coming on a treat, which perplexes Linnea. Linnea can't work out what all the hair curlers are. Stoner is winding up Garibaldi, and Garibaldi tells him he'll be keeping an eye on him. Stoner tells him to use both eyes. Marielle is attracted to Sheridan, but Malari warns him off. Well, she's a right go with this Marielle, isn't she?
When he said the moths thing, you know,
moths.
You have these creatures, they are attracted to light. I thought we were going to get another duck, cat. Quack, everything, cat, yeah. Everything. I thought that this time he was then going to say it was going to be ducks, and he's constantly getting the next animal wrong as we go through the series. But I really thought, I genuinely thought that was going to be the comedy moment this episode.
That would have been good. That could have been a running thing throughout the entire series.
When I heard that, with the way he said moth, the way he said it, moth, moth. I thought I'll write that down as a note. I couldn't spell it. what is it? MOT? It's not a Z. It's moth.
Moth. Yeah.
MOTH. Moth. No, I just can't do it. What a funny way of saying moth. Stoner appears at Talia's table. I mean, one minute he's there, next minute, one minute he's there, that's it, boom, he just appears. He wasn't in the scene when they pan around, and there he is. He appears at the table in the Zuclo and tells her the way out of the core is to lose your telepathic powers. And he tells her how he did it and how she can do it, and he can help her to do it as well. In the meantime, Marielle comes to Malari's quarters and comes on to Lando and... Hey, let's do a little bit of... Oh, and De Gea is here already. And there is Timoff as well, who gives him a slap.
They're merely expressing their feelings for me.
I can do that.
You haven't changed.
You have. You've devolved.
Talia apologizes to Garibaldi and tells him that she has to leave with Stoner to replicate the effect that he had in losing his powers so that she can lose hers. In the meantime, Marielle buys a statue. Mm. Get it from Mr. Hom. The day of Ascension party arrives, and everyone needs to be barefoot, except Jakar, who wears boots. But it does not wind up Malari. He's still quite happy. Jakar throws a grape to Marielle, but more on that later. Presents are given, which is a real pain for Malari. Right in the forehead. Two little darts, poisoned. Malari ends up in Med Lab and is in serious condition. Stoner is questioned and winds up Sheridan and Garibaldi. Timoff has the same blood type as Malari and will give the transfusion so long as Malari doesn't find out about it. Mm, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what she could have quite easily just said, I'll do it, I got the same blood. Done it, and then she can say, I'm obviously going to be your wife now because I've given you all this blood, and aren't I really good? But no, she wants to keep it secret. Mm. She can't give it, doesn't really, she likes him. She's duty bound, she's the wife and all that, but at the same time, just constantly bickering. Lou Welch turns up and gives Stoner his lunch early, but he does not know why. And he doesn't know why he likes him. Londo recovers after the secret blood transfusion. And then we find out that Winters has decided not to go with Stoner. But as she's talking to Stoner about it, she changes her mind. Well, has it changed for her? And then Garibaldi punches Stoner and puts him on the floor. In the meantime, Jacquard and Marielle are in Jacquard's quarters. He susses out Marielle's plot. If he was married to Londa, then he would be concerned.
I warn you, Marielle, do not be overconfident. If I were married to Londo Molari, I'd be concerned.
Jacquard, if you were married to Londo Molari, we'd all be concerned.
Sheridan confronts Stoner and accuses him of not leaving the psycho, but really being put to one side in case the rest of them realized the Corps had been experimenting on them. He has become an empath due to their experiments. In the meantime, it cuts really quickly. This goes from one scene to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. But it's like a game of ping pong. Londo's wives are leaving, and it looks like he has chosen his one wife. He sends Marielle and Daguerre packing with a small allowance for good measure.
All right, Londo. Why did you choose to keep me as your wife and not them? I've made no pretense of affection for you. I find your recent actions contemptible. I'll never love you. At best, I'll tolerate you. And I'll never be what you want me to be. Why me?
Because with you, I will always know where I stand.
Better the devil you know. And Delenn thanks Susan for her help, but wants to know what these odd cramps are.
Yeah, I wasn't comfortable at the end of this joke. That didn't land for me whatsoever. It's like, they're having a time of the month joke, really?
Yeah.
I felt very uncomfortable watching that bit. And it was the kind of, it was also the sitcom way that Ivanova then had to turn to the cameras, like, oh boy, here we go again. come on. Okay, we'll probably talk about that when we do ratings.
I was waiting for Sean to say, and you know what else will give you cramps?
And you know what else will give you cramps? Not this podcast promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network. I don't know. That works, I guess.
I'm leaving that in. It's a comedy episode. We'll have that.
At the 42cast, we want to bring you everything. And that's why we've jam-packed the next few months with as much as we can. You not only get the same reviews, topics, and interviews that you did before, you also get screen reads, where we compare a movie to its source material, or role models, where we talk about tabletop gaming. It's never been a more exciting time to check out our show. It's your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything, so why not check it out? We can be found on most podcasting platforms, and we are a proud member of the ESO Network.
Oh, trivia. And there's a lot of it this week. Mira Furlan begged Peter David to take out the scene where Delenn asks Ivanova why she's suddenly beginning to have abdominal cramps, as she felt it was very infantile humour. But David thought it was necessary to the overall story arc of Delenn's change, and a possible hint that Delenn may now be capable of bearing a human child. There are easier ways of doing that. Author Peter David wrote in his book Out of the Darkness that Timov reconciled with Londo on her deathbed. Interesting. The joke that Londo is telling the crowd, "No, you idiot, that's not my leg, that's my air hose," is the same joke Max Ellison tells the men at the bar on Crusade, Ruling from the Tomb, 1999. We shall have to keep an eye out for that. Or both eyes. The episode establishes that for high-ranking Centauri nobles, a divorce can only be granted by the Emperor, and the 30th anniversary of a Centauri's ascension is an important milestone in the career of a high-ranking Centauri. But doesn't tell you what the ascension is. When Jacquard is talking to Londo and his wives, Jacquard tosses something to Marielle, which she catches. Londo does not appear to notice. Some viewers thought Jacquard was supplying the ammunition for the booby trap, but actually the object was a grape, and it was a very clever insult. Tossing a fruit to a loved one is a sign of love or infatuation in Narn society. By doing so, Jacquard and Marielle were pointedly saying that he was sleeping with Londo's wife to the entire room. There you go.
No.
During one take being filmed after Londo is shot with the booby-trapped statue, Bruce Boxleitner tapped his comlink prop and accidentally said, "Medlab, this is Sinclair," rather than Sheridan, sending the entire cast into hysterics. Author Peter David's Legions of Fire series revealed that Malari actually found out that Timov had provided him with the transfusion. One of the nurses in the med lab mistakenly told him. This influenced his decision to choose Timov over his other wives. Malari's wives have names that are actually anagrams. Did anybody pick this up?
Nope.
No.
They spell out the names of their inner natures. Timov is vomit. Dagir becomes one dagger. And Marielle is me, liar. So there you go. In Malari's quarters, when Veer is delaying Malari's wives, the door is standing wide open for no reason. And when Malari finally does show up, the door opening sound plays, even though the door is already open, and then finally shuts. Yes. So there we go. That's all the trivia we have. Sean, any Star Trek connections?
There's a couple. The lady who played Marielle, Blair Volk, she was in the Deep Space Nine episode "Let He Who Is Without Sin." She played the Risian woman, and of course Carol Struycken, who played the traitor, was in the Voyager episode "The Thaw" as Spectre, but of course better known for his 5 episodes in TNG as Mr. Holm. Luxana Troy's manservant. I can never say that name. Deanna's mom.
Yeah. Any more?
No, that's all I had.
Oh my goodness, man, come on.
I wasn't going to do...
Keith Zarabayek, however you pronounce his name, was Damaris in Rogue Planet of Enterprise and Star Trek Voyager Tero Anadis in Repression. But the biggest one is Jane Carr herself.
Reed's mom.
Malcolm Reed's mom.
Well, I somehow missed those.
Oh, dear, man.
Not sure how I did, because I looked through.
Why are you on here?
I don't know. Oh, for the promo transitions.
Ah, that's it. Yes. No, Malcolm Reed's mom. I had to go back. I actually watched the scene. I went back and found the episode and watched the scene. And I thought, oh my goodness, you wouldn't recognize her. She's a lot older, obviously, in Enterprise, and a little bit more rounder in the face.
And not given half as much stuff to do.
No, that's right. Sadly, I mean, she was stuck behind. I've forgotten his name. The one from Hello, Hello.
Yeah. Whose name I can't pronounce. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Yes, there you go. Malcolm Reed's mother.
I don't know how I missed that.
It actually, because it said, Mary Reed, and I thought, Mary Reed, and it's in Enterprise. In Enterprise, Mary Reed, in Enterprise. I don't know any Mary Reed. Reed? No. And then it said the episode, and I went to it and went, hang on a minute, Reed, of course. It's a mother.
That's the pineapple episode, isn't it?
The pineapple episode.
Yes, it is. Okay, so ratings. We use our rating system of jump gates, 5 jump gates being the maximum. IMDb scores out of 10, and they have given this a 7.3, which is slightly less than last week's. 7.3 equates to 3.65. Sean, what did you give this episode?
Not very much. I gave it... actually, I went back and forth quite a bit on this one. It was... because the Londo wives, their acting was terrific, but the Matt Stoner guy, he was a horrible actor. His whole character didn't make any sense. This entire episode is useless. It doesn't further the plot in any way whatsoever that I could find. And I didn't enjoy it. I liked the Lens Bad Hair Day. I didn't care for the cramps like you guys didn't. But 2.25.
Harsh. Dan.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it as much as last week. Like I said, with the Race Through Dark Places, that felt a bit more cohesive. It felt like it built on something. It felt like it was setting up things that we will know to come in the future series. This didn't feel like it was going to go anywhere. Like, I enjoyed all of the Malari stuff, as I've always done in all the Malari episodes. I really like the Centauri way of the society and how it all interacts, and the fact that these three wives are, you know, bickering over who's going to become the only wife left. It was a good comedy setup, and it was put together really well. And then you get what is supposed to be the main focus of the episode, and it's nothing. It doesn't make any sense. If this were in last week's episode and there was that they were trying to track down Matt Stoner, and Bester was going to kill Stoner, and Stoner was going to give in on Talia, and then he gives up the railroad, I think that could have made for a really good episode. And then take all of the stuff with Delenn and Sheridan going on a date, mix it in with her being unable to master human hair. I think it would have made for a better comedy moment to go next to Mallory's three wives and everything like that. And then the whole soulmates thing would have made sense. It's Delenn and Sheridan having soulmates, and it's the soulmates for Mallory. You'd have had a far more cohesive episode, and that didn't happen here. But because it is so good, and the comedy does work when it really works well, I'm going to go for 2.75.
Okay. Very good. So I totally disagree. What Sean said about the Stoner character, I think his acting is a lot better than you make out. I think it's Garibaldi's acting that lets it down. I was getting wound up by Stoner, you know, being really creepy, and he can, I've got a comeback for everything. Oh, do you want a hand with those big words? And Garibaldi didn't say anything back. Where was his jibe back? This is a guy who can fight back verbally as good as anybody. He's street smart. He knows, you know, you can say things and do things. He just didn't fight back. And so there was nothing. But because the guy is winding me up and I'm getting more and more angry every time he says something, that means his acting is brilliant because he's bringing out of me all of the emotions that he is supposed to bring out. So I thought he was actually quite good. His voice was... I loved his voice. I mean, you could use that in voice acting really well in certain characters in computer games. That'd be fantastic. His face belied his voice, really. His face didn't move around a lot, but his voice was amazing. So that part of it I quite liked. I like his comeuppance at the end. But that's because he is a really annoying person. The fact that he was married to Talia Winters, he didn't have to be married to Talia Winters. He could have been anybody. He could have been in a different story. But that's sort of, I shuffle that to the C plot. Yeah. The B plot being Delenn's hair, which I think again was a couple of good scenes there. That nice little bit of moving the thing along and making it look funny. I totally agree with what you say there, Dan. Though if you mix these episodes up and put them together, they become two separate episodes: one comedy and one a bit more serious with a bit more sense to them. But for me, the A plot being the a home with Mallory's, Jane Carr's acting is just a tour de force. You can tell the her background in the stage. And the RSC, she's got a wonderful voice. It's so for any Americans listening out there, posh and upper class, and demeaning and looking down, even though she's quite a small person compared to the rest of everybody. Her personality just carries the whole scene. I think she's absolutely brilliant, and I'm sure that Peter Jurasik enjoyed working with her. When you've got somebody like that as a foil to play off, I mean, that's phenomenal. I just love every one of her jibes, every one of her comebacks. A great character, great acting. And I've watched this episode twice now, and to the point where I have totally blanked every bad part of it, and I love all of the Mallory stuff, the Veer stuff, the Lanier stuff. All of the little looks that Susan gives Delenn, which is why I'm giving this a 4.5.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Wow.
I can see where that comes from. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
I remembered it. As soon as it came on, you said, Soulmates, we've got to watch Soulmates. And I thought, Soulmates, I can't remember. What is it? Because I'm not good on the titles of these. And I'm not as good as Star Trek, where I know quite a lot of the titles. This didn't mean anything. But as soon as I played it and they said about the wives, I went, yes, I love this episode. And I just love it because of Jane Carr. And I think she just takes the whole episode. And even though it's only a small part of the whole episode. You just look forward to, as soon as she comes back on the screen, you go, oh, what's she going to say now? So, no, I love it. 4.5, it is my, I think it turns out to be my second favourite. So it's number two at the moment of my, out of the last 30 episodes we've watched.
Very good.
Very cool.
So there you go. Anybody else listening out there, tell me why I'm wrong.
Mm. This one's a big split. I don't think we've had a huge divide like this for a while, have we?
I don't believe so.
No, I mean, I don't think there has been such a big split, but for different reasons, because I'm not taking this episode seriously, and obviously you guys are looking a bit more at the sidecore type of things and saying that.
There were two stories. One was really good, so that's, you know, 2.5, and then the other 2.5 just kind of let it down, and it veered down. There we go.
Nothing wrong with veers for performance.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a pleasure to watch this episode. It wasn't a pleasure to watch this episode. Sorry.
It wasn't a pleasure to watch this episode. Emphasis on the pleasure.
That's it. Yeah. You do much better in bars. Oh, I did like the callback to deck of cards, though. Lenny buying him a deck of cards. And I marked them just especially, just as you asked.
Yes. Yes, I didn't. I missed that. Yeah, well done. Good spot.
Mm.
Okay, so that's the end of this episode. Join us again next week when we will be discussing Season 2, Episode 9, The Coming of Shadows.
Yeah.
Ladies, it's been a pleasure meeting you.
If you have any thoughts on this episode, why not send in some feedback to the epsilon3@gmail.com. That's 3 spelled T-H-R-E-E, not the number. Or you can find us on our Facebook page. Just search for the Epsilon 3.
Now, if you have any other problems, any other questions at all, just ask.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.